This interview forms part of the Shep Life podcast by 1FM Shepparton. You can hear Shep Life live on 1FM 98.5 on Fridays 9am to 12pm. The host is Terry Cowley. Technical assistance by Adam Watkins and Josh Revins.
Now, as I mentioned on Peter D's program last hour, we're going to be having a chat to Rachel Smith and Dr. Sue Furphy from the Murchison Medical Clinic this morning. And we want to primarily talk about women's health, but of course, all roads are sort of leading to, all media roads are sort of leading to Murchison this week, with the concern about the closure of the DP Jones nursing home. And I'm sure that Rachel and Sue can fill us in on what's happening there too. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning, Terry.
Okay, now, Rachel, you are the practice manager of the Murchison Medical Clinic and also the secretary of the Action Group. We have heard that there's a big debt associated with the nursing home. You're hoping that someone else will buy it before it closes. Where are you at now?
Well, even in the last 24 hours, Terry, there's been incredible movement from the federal government, and they're looking very positive that there's a solution there. So we're ecstatic about that. At this point, for a private provider to take it over, they're just really wanting to ensure that as many beds are still filled as possible. There's been a big rush to move the residents through the voluntary administrator. And so now we're hoping that folks will stay and just hold on for a couple more days so we can find a solution and keep the doors open.
Gee, so we really are almost at the 11th hour, it sounds like. I could see. I know that when I was asking Rachel and Sue to come into the studio, they were both on their phones doing a lot of work. So thanks so much for your time this morning. I know it's a pretty hectic time. So what can the rest of us do? We just wait and see, or obviously we support you in spirit?
Oh, actually, there's things people can do at this moment. Contact the Prime Minister's office and the Treasurer's office. And also, if there's any contacts with some of the aged care providers in the area, letting them know that they should step forward to help with the solution, and that even if all the beds aren't filled today, they will be, because everyone knows how important it is to keep things going in Murchison. And we'll put all the efforts into supporting the new provider as we have to get the federal money.
How important, Sue, perhaps you can answer this question, how important is a nursing home like this in a town like Murchison?
Oh, it's so important. Yeah, I think for country people to have a facility within their community where aged people can remain in the community if they're needing residential aged care facilities, and also people needing palliative care to be able to remain in the community is really important. You know, we see situations where people might be coming in daily, twice daily, to be with their family, and that just isn't possible if the family is shifted at, you know, 40 kilometres away or 20 kilometres away, and similarly with the palliative care beds too.
This is a huge issue for rural and regional healthcare providers, isn't it? And in fact, it just came up in my previous interview with Megan Thompson. She's a clinical nurse at GV Health, and she was talking about cancer services and people having to go to Melbourne for those. I'm sure you would know much better than I would, Sue, that their health outcomes are much greater if people can be treated near home.
Yes. It's rural people really are disadvantaged by distance, and so the more that we can do to deliver quality care sort of locally, the better we'll improve the health outcomes. So it's something I think that we as rural people need to strongly advocate for.
Absolutely. And keep us posted on that, Rachel. I hope that a solution can be found, because it's not just about the people who are in the nursing home, is it?
No, it's really about the whole town, essentially, because the entity that owns the nursing home also owns the buildings that the medical center works out of, as well as the neighborhood house. And so all of those things are really in jeopardy based on what's happening with the nursing home. So that's why you see that this affects the whole town, the nursing home, the medical and pharmacy services, as well as the incredible social and community services offered through the neighborhood house. So yeah, we're working really hard to help the whole town.
Okay, I wish you all the best on that. And I'm sure you'll keep us posted. Now, originally why we were doing this interview was to highlight women's health, in particular the need for screening for cervical cancer. Now, there is a concern that Rachel sent me a lot of figures, and tell me if I've got this right. There's about 50% of women in your region who aren't exactly up to date with their cervical screening. Is that right?
Yes, it's and so it's something that we really want to correct. We have a terrific new test was launched in 2017. Australia's really at the forefront with this widespread test that's called the cervical screening test, as opposed to what we knew as the Pap test. it's more effective, and it doesn't need to be done as often. It only, if it's normal, we only need to repeat it 5 yearly, which is wonderful. So we're really wanting to get the message out and encourage women to have the screening done, because it's making great inroads on the prevalence and mortality from cervical cancer.
It's great to hear that this screening test is more effective. Mm. It's obviously detecting things earlier. But does the actual experience for the woman change?
It's not very different, to be honest. It's really taken in a similar way. But the test looks at whether or not the human papillomavirus is present, as opposed to what the cellular, were there cellular changes or not. And we know now that cervical cancer is, in the vast majority of cases, related to having an infection with the human papillomavirus. And so, and it takes quite a long time for cancer changes to evolve, if they're going to. We're looking merely at, you know, probably 10 to 15 years. And so by doing this test and seeing if the virus is present, we can identify people who we need to look at a bit more closely. And also, if the virus is not present, it's safe to have another test 5 years later rather than the 2 years that we had with pap smears.
Well, I'm certain that no women will be complaining about the longer time frame there. Now, Rachel, you're the practice manager. You probably talk to a lot of patients. What do you think are some of the reasons why women don't get these tests done?
Well, that's a really good question, Terry, and that's sort of the heart of the matter, because we've really been trying to get women to come in. We actually did a survey. We found a lot of it is timing. Women tend to put others before themselves, so they make sure their kids or their partner are getting taken care of in terms of their medical services, and then often just put this off and put it off. We've also talked to women who, some of them even in this day and age, feel embarrassed or uncomfortable.
Don't think any of us love it.
but I was really surprised that there are still women who feel embarrassed by it, when it's just something that we do as part of our overall health care.
Better to be embarrassed than very sick.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so you're looking at doing a bit of a women's health pilot to try and raise these compliance rates, if you like, to more like 70%. I mean, I'm sure you'd like it to be 100%.
Yes. And so with funding obtained through Murray Primary Healthcare Network, the clinic has been running women's health sessions that we've scheduled in the evening and on Saturday mornings over the last 6 months, Rachel, yeah. Would it have been? Yeah. So that's very much focused on women's health. So we've been trying to make better times available for women to come to those sessions, and they've been well received. We've been pleased, you know, and I think probably for us as a practice too, because we've had a focus on it, we've really been putting a lot of energy into looking at our patient list, seeing who to approach to encourage them to come in, and we've been really pleased with the improvement in our own rates at the clinic too, with that focused approach.
Okay, so... you were mentioning earlier off air that Australia looks set to become possibly the first country in the world to eliminate cervical cancer as a health issue, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, Australia's been very, you know, at the cutting edge really with research into cervical cancer and with adopting universal prevention programs like the rollout of the human papillomavirus vaccines for initially I think it was young girls 11 to 13, sort of before the age of sexual contact where they might get a HPV infection. And so that happened in I think about 2007, and then it was extended to boys 11 to 13 in about I think that was 2013 anyway, later. And so with those measures we're hoping to reduce the risk of well, not only hoping, but it's been demonstrated already that rates have dropped somewhat. So to prevent the virus in the first place, but also with the screening program that's been adopted throughout Australia, doing this new cervical screening test rather than the pap smear test, both of those things have added in. And so if people buy into these screening and prevention programs and we get a significant number of the population doing it, then we've got a very good chance of eliminating cervical cancer as a public health issue within 2 or 3 decades. But it does take the buy-in, so we're really wanting to encourage all women to participate in the screening program as well.
So yeah. If you were of that age and you received that vaccine, you still need to get this screening test?
Yes, you do. Your chances of getting the vaccine are much reduced, but they're not...
The chance of getting the disease?
Of getting the disease are much reduced.
But it's not fail-safe.
And it'll take a period of time for us to have certainty about that as well. It's something that's being studied as we go along too. Yes.
Talking about cervical cancer, where does that fit in terms of cancer generally, or women's cancer? Is it a huge part of that? Or?
No, it's not. It's not a common cancer. It's a rare cancer, certainly. You know, we're probably talking. Although the rate has actually halved in Australia since the first Pap smear program came in 1992. So we're doing really, really well in that regard. But we're talking. You know, initially it would have been about 15 people per 100,000, so it's not a highly a very frequent cancer, but
would be a lot less than breast cancer, for example.
Yes, there are about 800 new cases diagnosed each year in Australia.
So yeah. If somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, oh, I should get this, I've been a few years or whatever, they just basically need to front up to their GP.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely,
ask
yep.
for the... what
cervical screening test.
So the CST. CST,
yes.
Screening test.
Yeah. Or even if they said Pap,
yeah.
You know, that that's probably the more common parlance still, isn't it? Even if they said for a Pap test,
yes.
Everyone would know what they meant.
People might be having them, not having these tests, not even knowing that it is the new test.
Yes, yes, because it's been a universal thing to do it since 2017. Yes, and it's just the name, really.
Yeah, sometimes our medical professionals, they don't explain these things at all. I actually think that I've been through that, and I don't think I had it explained to me that it was a different test.
Yep.
So, but I think that they said come back in 5 years, so It must have been that test, but
yes,
yeah, we have to keep our eyes on the game, don't we, to keep up with all of this?
Yeah, because, and get the word out. So it's great having having the opportunity this morning. Thank you to be able to tell people about it, because it's a great breakthrough for women,
for women's health. Yes,
yeah, and also for men as well. Like, we look at the rollout of the human papillomavirus, and certainly that's been great for cervical cancer. It also protects against genital warts, which is another one of the human papillomaviruses. And so there's been a real reduction in the number of cases of genital warts happening too, and that's because we're getting to the young kids at an early age, and they get protection from these vaccines. So I think there's been something like about a 73% take-up of the vaccination program. So that's another thing to really encourage people or young kids to have. It's provided through the school, and also we at our clinics can give catch-ups. Or, you know, if kids miss out on having the vaccine at school, if they're not there on the dedicated day, come into us and we can give it to you. We've got a nice little stock in the fridge ready to go.
Okay, so yep. I guess the essential message is, if you're concerned about whether or not you're up to date, find out. There is a register, I think, that...
Yeah, it's a very good register. Victorian Cytology keep a register, and they're very active at sending out reminders to people. I know everybody gets a lot of things, sort of flyers and all kinds of things sent to them, and in this busy world we all live in, it's very easy to think, yeah, I'll get around to that.
But I guess it's coming back to what Rachel said about making yourself a priority. You can't look after others if you don't look after yourself.
Yes, that's right, isn't it? Isn't it? And just that learning, I think, within the family, that the preventive measures can be very effective.
Much better than cure.
Worth and absolutely, yes.
Always. Okay, well, thanks so much for coming to talk to us, Dr. Sue Furphy and Rachel Smith of the Murchison Medical Clinic. Perhaps you can come back in a little while and tell us how your efforts are going.
We'd love to.
And fly the testing flag again.
We'd love to. Thank you.
And all the best with what's happening with saving the nursing home too.
Thanks, Terry.
Yeah, keep us posted on that one.
Will do.
You've been listening to the Shep Life podcast, brought to you by J. Furphy & Sons, the stainless steel tank experts. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on SoundCloud. Find it on the 1FM Facebook page or search Shep Life Group on Facebook. Once approved, you'll be kept up to date with links to future shows. If you'd like to hear the show live, you can tune in to 98.5 on your radio or stream through fm985.com.au or the TuneIn app on your Android or iOS device. Friday mornings from 9 a.m. to midday.